First reading is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Second reading is from the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me? The mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Next reading is responsive. It's the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant.
Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy. According to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever."
Let us listen for God's word to his people. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout the season of Advent this year, we have reflected upon Mary and the turmoil that surely must have swirled around this unexpected pregnancy. Feelings of disappointment by her family, feelings of betrayal by her husband, Joseph, and the ever-present societal expectations which she had transgressed. All of these would have added to the stress felt by a young woman trying to answer all of the questions that Mary must have had about this all. Anytime that God intervenes in human history, there are bound to be questions. There are bound to be misunderstandings and wonderings. We speak of the mystery of events such as this. And I guess it's only natural that we do that because, after all, we live our days mostly blissfully unaware of the presence of God. So that when God breaks into our lives in wondrous and miraculous ways, as he does here for Mary, when God creates a child in a womb ex nihilo, we are quick to label these acts as mysteries. And indeed, in one sense, they are. They are acts that are beyond the laws of nature that we live our lives in most of the time. But we should never interpret these acts as mysteries interpreted as unknowable or beyond our understanding. For God always reveals his purpose to us and for us. If we would have ears to hear, eyes to see, or hearts to comprehend the length and the breadth of God's love. As the angel appears to Mary in our readings today, and as Mary receives the angel's message, one thing is clear. God knows. And God ensures that Mary knows. Over the past 10 or 15 years or so, there's a Christian piece of music that's become really popular at this time of year. Mary, did you know? The answer is yes. Mary knew because the angel told her. First, God knows. God knows judgment and shame and fear that Mary will have felt, as we spoke about earlier in the season of Advent, because it was from the very laws of God that God had set forth for his people in the Hebrew Scriptures that the societal expectations of Mary's society had been established. And those societal norms which were seemingly transgressed at this point, they were God's laws after all. And as a result of God knowing the troubled heart of Mary, God sends Gabriel, his messenger of comfort. And Gabriel brings his quintessential message: do not be afraid. To reveal to Mary all that is taking place. How this child is no ordinary child, but the Son of the Most High. God knows. But words alone are not enough. God knows that too. And so God gives Mary a sign. The sign that God gives to Mary is that her cousin Elizabeth, who is old and barren and beyond childbearing years, has also experienced this miraculous process. Elizabeth, too, bears a child which defies all of human nature, for she is barren beyond her fruitful years. And yet she is 6 months pregnant. As God has intervened in Mary's life and called her to be part of God's great plan, God has also reached into the lives of Elizabeth and Zechariah, blessing them with their own son, but more importantly, giving to Mary a traveling companion who will walk with her on this difficult and incomprehensible path. In Elizabeth, Mary finds one who will understand all of her questioning, all of her worry, because Elizabeth is walking the journey too. It is after Gabriel shares this news that of Elizabeth's pregnancy that Mary is able then to respond, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to his word." Mary can do this thing, endure this thing, because she has one who will walk beside her. And finally, and most importantly, is the purpose that lies behind all of these things. As Mary declares in her song, God has observed the injustice and the oppression of this world. And God has intervened so that justice may flourish. God knows. God knows the suffering that too many people in our world know all too well. Mary says, "His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel to remember in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise that he has made to their ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants who follow them." Mary sings of God's faithfulness from of old, faithfulness to the promises of the Exodus, faithfulness to the words of the prophets who generations before had held forth a vision of a just land and a just society, a fair distribution of the world's resources. The humble will be lifted up, beginning with Mary herself, and the rich will be sent empty away. God knows. There are no more important, no more powerful, no more comforting words than these two words. God knows. God knows that the world in which we live is not perfect. That it has fallen from its true intention manifest in that moment of creation. God knows the burdens that we carry, the weight of the worry and concern that weighs us down from time to time. God knows when we are feeling cut off and alone and gives to us our Elizabeth, one who walks alongside of us to be our companion and our guide. And into the wanting and the longing of this world, God sends the humble and the lowly. God sends Mary to be the bearer of God's word made flesh, God with us, to be the bearer of God's word. And God sends us to go forth and to proclaim the gospel of good news, to live in newness of life, trusting in Christ to redeem the world that God loves, to say yes to God's plan for us and for our world, to proclaim a gospel of hope, to lift up the brokenhearted, to scatter the proud, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. all these things we can do because God knows. Thanks be to God. Amen.